We were here a couple of years ago, I suppose, 2017, not quite sure where it was. So this is our second visit. Some of you we met before. Just to say it's a privilege, it's a delight to be back at Mountain Hope Centre, up in the middle of all the whatever trees they are out there. But this is just such a great spot, and it's a little bit cooler than down the bottom as well. So the reason for our visit over to this side of the world is that we have a new granddaughter in Toronto. So thank you very much, Terry. Appreciate that. Lynn said, we've got to go and visit little Lucy, and also our son over there will be 30 years old coming up next week. So, of course, if we're going to visit him, we've got another son in Anaheim Hills, so we had to arrange the airfares to include him as well. And if we're going to do that, of course, it's not far from down the bottom to up the top. So I got in touch with Rory and I said, hey, is this going to work if we come up and maybe we can serve you? So that's why we're here. So sorry to say you guys are like further down the list. It was started with the new granddaughter. She'll be 3.5 months. But it's a pleasure to be here. So I'm Alan, and we minister in different places doing different things. I go to Vanuatu, which is an island nation somewhere in the middle of the Pacific. I go there a few times, and we visit different churches. Actually, last year we were in Lyndon and Catherine's church. Some of you will remember Lyndon and Catherine. They were here for a while. So we ministered in their church south of Christchurch. And that's a growing church where they are. I think they're elders there. It's full of South Africans, so you get all sorts of accents, although you guys probably think it sounds like a New Zealand accent with a South African one. To us, it's really different. But it's such a good church there. In fact, they had their first baptisms the day we were there, and it was really cold, and the tank was outside. We stayed inside the facility and looked out through the glass windows. The keen ones and the family members were outside. They had hot water in the tank. I thought, yeah, God bless you. I'm staying inside. So we're just glad to be here. Lynn's going to come up in a moment. Oh, before I do that, since I came here, I've been busy. I've written a couple of little booklets, Standing Strong in Christ. That's Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. It's for new believers. Or if you want to get a refresher on the foundations of the faith, that's what that is. It's easy to read, New Zealand casual. So that's how we do things in New Zealand. So that's that one. And the picture on the front is one of Lynn's art pieces. Lynn's an artist. She painted that painting 2 or 3 years ago at Hope Centre in Tauranga on Easter. That's the painting that she did in the church service at Easter. And for the model, I mean, she did that during a church service, yeah. And the model was our younger son. Oh, that's the one we're going to visit in Toronto. So if you want to know what Jesus looks like, he looks like our youngest son who's coming up 30 years. Oh, yeah. Well, he does now, anyway. So that's that one. And then I wrote this one, A Fox Stole My Grapes, which is based on the scripture in Solomon. Watch out for those little foxes that have come and flog your grapes, which is all about character, and watch out for the little character faults. And I've been around a while, got a grey beard, so like some of you like me, you see people that start off well and they just things happen in their lives and they make some wrong choices and it's pretty sad, and they fizzle and fail. And so this is written to point out those little areas, those little foxes that'll come in and spoil our vineyards. And if we don't take care of the little things, they grow bigger. And then Lynn's writing a book on her lifetime of evangelism and the stories that she has. So that one's called, but this is just the first version, the early version. It's called Dusty Sandals, because Lynn was speaking last night about how our feet are to be shod with the gospel of peace. So she's had her feet shod for decades now, out witnessing in every corner of the earth. And on the back it says how her gospel sandals are getting a little dusty, but they're just getting worn in. So the book Dusty Sandals about Lynn's tales of witnessing here, there and everywhere, and the lessons that we can learn. So $20 for all three, or whatever price for individually. I don't know. We'll sort that out. But so Lynn, as you're coming up here, you might as well come. So Lynn is an evangelist from a long time ago. Maybe she'll share something about that. And she's going to encourage us today in evangelism and how to reach out to people once I get her wired up. So we've been married Well, we're married. I don't know. Something.
36 years.
You're not allowed to look at your notes for that one.
Oh, yeah. So three sons. Yeah, the oldest one's in New Zealand, in Auckland. He's married. Next one down, Anaheim Hills. Him and his wife, two little kiddies, 6 and 3. Next one down, Toronto area with the little girl. That's us.
Thank you. Is this working? No?
Oh, I got to turn it on.
He's got to turn me on.
Let's get into the message.
Carl, could you put the words of that song we sang on the faithfulness of God just back up on the screen? So, welcome from Mountain Hope Centre in Tauranga. They send your greetings.
Yes.
And I know you're very familiar with Kristen, and you're often mentioned very fondly when he comes back from being over here. So, it's great to be back here and seeing familiar faces and some new faces as well. I just wanted, as we're singing about the faithfulness of God, and someone mentioned about a desert going through desert experiences. What I love about desert experiences, it causes us to die. Things die in the desert, and that's where God wants to bring us, isn't it? He wants us to bring us to that place where we die to the flesh, and then he will bring the life through us. So desert experiences, as painful as they are, I went through 7 months of sickness a year or so ago, and it's the pits, right? But there are gems that come in the desert, absolute gems. And I love when I see a group like you, I think of the disciples, they turned the whole known world upside down, yeah. Right? You can look at small numbers, you can look at your own weaknesses, but the disciples turned the whole known world upside down because you and God are a majority. And it's getting this thing between the ears, coming to grips with that and saying, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the power that lives in me. God, me and you are a majority.
Yeah.
And if you see anything happening for bad in the world, it's usually a minority group, right? If you see something happening for really good, it's usually, you know, the Holy Spirit in it, empowering a small group of people that are full on for God. I mean, what does it take to... I know you have bushfires and terrible fires in the States from time to time. What starts that fire? One little spark, right? And you've got the power of God, which is a whole lot more than a spark, in each one of you. So how much more damage can you do to the enemy's kingdom?
That's good.
But we've just got to get it here and here, don't we? So I just wanted to put these words up. If we could just keep flicking through. This is my prayer. Is this the one about the faithfulness of God?
Yeah. Which one?
We're saying, yes. Is it the same one, is it?
Yes.
It's not about, I don't think it was about the desert. It was one about the faithfulness of God. Or is that the same one?
Different.
Yeah. A different one, yeah. Because God is faithful. And our flesh, when we're going through hard times, we can waver in our faith. But God is faithful. I just wanted to reiterate, Father of kindness, you have poured out grace, you have brought me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you are my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Worship in hard times and dry times is powerful. And when I went through my time of sickness, I made sure I worshipped. Because worship is warfare. So it's a choice. We don't go by what our feelings are. We go by, okay, what does God say I need to do in trials? We worship. We worship. It's a sacrifice of praise. Faithful you are. Faithful wherever you will be. Faithful you are. All your promises are yes and amen. Because we don't live by our feelings. We live by the promises of God. What does God say? I'm not going to allow my feelings to take over and annihilate what God says in the Word. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold on to God, even if I'm feeling lousy. I'm going to hold on to the promises of God. Your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Beautiful Saviour, you have brought me near. You have pulled me from the ashes. Those ashes in the desert where we feel like we're just being dried out. There's nothing left. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. I can't help but sing about God's faithfulness. There's a story, a true story about New Zealand in the 1800s. And this is a minority group. William Booth from the Salvation Army sent out two guys, and they were teenagers. And they came to New Zealand to evangelise. And one said, oh, you take the South, if you know New Zealand, there's two main islands, North Island and South Island. Where's my drink, babe?
It's on here.
Oh, right. There's two islands, and one young guy, I think he was 18, said, you take the North Island, I'll take the South Island, and we'll meet in the middle, and I think it was 9 months' time. How many people do you think they saw saved? This is little New Zealand in the 1800s. I think it was 34,000.
Wow.
Because they knew that they, them and God were a majority. You know, they saw the potential. Here's, oh, this is just little New Zealand. We're going to take that. They had expectation in their hearts. They knew who their God was. They didn't look at their weaknesses. We're all weak. And the weaker we are, the stronger God is through us. This is what desert experiences are about. Dying to ourselves, realizing we can't do it. God, it has to be you. Help. You know? And he comes through. He is faithful. And I love that story of those two young guys, teenagers. You take the North Island, I'll take the South Island. And not only did they see that many saved, there was a whole bunch of them in uniform playing a brass band and walking down the street singing gospel songs. I mean, just awesome. I love stories like that. So I'd like you to stretch your imagination a little bit. Imagine if Jesus in the flesh came to Crestline. And you think, oh, cool, things are going to happen now. Jesus is here. Man, what did he do when he was on earth? Our imagination can go wild. We can think, well, he raised the dead. That's pretty amazing. But just in his everyday life, he came across the woman at the well. And as a result of meeting her, one person, she realized he was the Messiah. She went and told her small town, no doubt. They basically all got saved. And they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. One person who had an encounter with Jesus. Don't you love that story? Okay, Jesus is in town, walking down the main street of Crestline, goes up to someone in the shop, gets a word of knowledge, pierces right into her heart. She has a revelation because of what he said to her, realises he's so loving and so kind. Come, and she goes and tells her friend, come and meet a man. I've never seen anyone like this before. She becomes an evangelist, even though she mightn't be quite saved just yet. But she's had this encounter with Jesus. And I've got to tell everybody. Because you remember when you first got saved, how you wanted to tell everybody? And sometimes over the years, oops, I'm not quite so like that anymore. And most people I've spoken to when they first get saved, they want to tell everyone. Well, I was 12 when I got saved. And I went to school and I preached hellfire and brimstone. And despite that, someone got saved. Amazing. I'm not saying do that, by the way. Hopefully we'll give you some tips today. But I want you to imagine Jesus is in Crestline. And he's just walking the streets. I remember a preacher saying once, Jesus didn't hop on a white horse and bound to this meeting and bound to that meeting and stop here and dart off here. He just walked around and he just did what the Father said. There was that rest of faith, and he just, every day would have been amazing encounters with Jesus as people met him. Well, Jesus wants to do that in Crestline. He wants to do it in the whole mountain area, and I love things happen in mountaintops, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, that inspired me. That was a little thought I had this morning. Mountaintop experiences. You can have mountaintop experiences in the spirit up here, you know. It just popped into my mind. I think, why not believe for that? Why not believe for mountaintop experiences? So Jesus walks about. He just strolls down the streets here and goes over to, Lake Arrowhead. Tourists are there, and he sees an old man sitting on a seat, and he just goes over and sits down and just starts chatting and smiling and just showing an interest in him, asking questions about his life. Before you know it, the man wonders, who is this man? There's something about him. And he starts asking Jesus questions. And before you know it, he's saved, you know. So Jesus is strolling around the streets of this area. Guess how? Through you. And greater works will you do,
yep,
than what Jesus did. Isn't that amazing? Do we really believe that? Takes a bit to get your head around, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. But it's true. It's the truth. I'm really dry today. So we need to stir ourselves up to get into the Word of God. Is this something you really depend on? Is this something that you hold close to your heart? Do the promises of God become more real to you as you grow in God? They need to become life to you. And I don't know how many promises there are in the Bible, but there's masses of them for every situation. And I know as you meditate on the promises of God and you allow them to go from here to here, we are being transformed. And, you know, some of us have known the Lord for a long time. And we can get a bit dry. All of us have gone through dry experiences, but we've got to get back into the Word and allow the water of the Word to water our spirit and to stir us up again and to stir us up to who we are. So we're going on a bit of a treasure hunt this morning. And as children, we all love treasures, don't we? We love going on treasure hunts. And at Easter, I know in America, I think a lot you hunt for Easter eggs and things like that, and the children go crazy and have a lot of excitement. Well, I just reasonably recently, I went to a book sale, and I love books. And I heard there was a second-hand book sale on. They've been collecting these books for a long, long time. So I thought, oh, great. And sometimes when you go to a book sale, there might be, as an artist, I look for the art books, among other ones. And usually there's about that many, you know, probably about 10. And I walk into this book sale, and here's a whole, about three trestle loads deep. This is a huge warehouse, and full of art books. Well, my eyes just suddenly became twice as large. And I'm starting to almost hyperventilate. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, Alan's sort of standing here, right, you know. And so I start flicking my way through these books, and Alan sits down and is an extremely patient husband when I get like this. And then I look right through this, you know, three trestle loads, probably took me half an hour, and I turned around to see what other books, because I'm interested in other things, and there were two more rows of art books. Of three trestles full. Wow. I was leaping off the floor by this stage. I was levitating. Well, my brother's an artist, and he lived about an hour and a quarter away. I got on the phone, and I said, Wayne, you've got to come over here. There's this book sale on, and there's all these art books. And I've just seen one that was $250, and now it's only $15, or it's only $10. And so he got in the car, and he came over. You know, so Alan's sitting there patiently, just putting the books in a box for me and then carting them out to the packing place and so he could pay for them. And I'm just going through these books so, so excited. So we came home and Alan put them in my studio. Anyway, I was busy over the next 2 days and I went down to my studio. I thought I must have a look at the books I bought. And there was a box there about that big. And I thought I'd bought more than that. Oh, well, there's some great books here, and that was fine. About two more days later, I went down to my studio. I spotted another box of books, and there was the rest of them. Well, again, I was getting all excited. I thought, oh, wow, treasures, you know, treasures. Ooh, I love treasures. Well, there are many unseen treasures in this room because there's treasures that you have inside of you that you haven't really recognised yet, or maybe you've let them die. Maybe they got buried again. But the treasure you have in you is the King of the universe, you know, and that's the full inheritance of heaven. Heaven is coming to earth through you. You know, I just love the thought of bringing heaven to earth. Wherever I go out for the day and I think, God, I take your presence. I take who you are. I want to be in tune with you, Father. I only want to do what the Father tells me to do, like Jesus. And that's a choice. We can open our ears or we can just get on with our own agenda. Maybe you're in a hurry and you don't think about that. But even if you're in a hurry, you may have a gospel tract. You're walking by in a hurry, you've got something to do. Someone's sitting on a park bench, the Holy Spirit, because you're equipped, the Holy Spirit can say, give that person that gospel tract. Or Just be friendly to that person. Just say, hi, you're looking great today. I love that outfit you've got on. Just be kind. Just be friendly. Especially in this area, you can get known if you're the friendliest person in town. Okay? Just being friendly. Do you remember what it's like when you're a child? And if you're, probably mainly if you're in a loving family. I was very fortunate. I have very loving parents. They didn't know the Lord, but they sent me off to Sunday school. Back in the olden days, everyone in New Zealand went to Sunday school. And I had no fears, no worries. Money was never a problem. You know, I was free. I just felt free. And you dream as a child. Some of you men thought, when I grow up, I'm going to be a fire engine driver or a train driver or a truck driver, or maybe I'm going to be a pilot. Some of you ladies might that I'm going to be an opera singer or I'm going to be a ballerina. You know, the sky was the limit, right? If you had a loving relationship with your parents. Somehow, as adults, we don't seem to dream so much. We don't allow ourselves to dream in God and all that potential that's in us, and we get the knocks of life. We all go through the knocks of life. We go through hurts, we go through abuse, pain, suffering, and that really gives us a knock. And so those treasures get more and more buried, don't they? So we're going to find some treasures today, because those treasures are there. It's time to really stand up as believers and recognise who we are. Because I believe if we really saw that the God of the universe was living in us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead lived in us, and we meditated on that and get it into our spirit, what is going to hold us back? There's nothing that will hold us back. We've just got to see ourselves as God sees us. And the scripture is full of how God sees us. We're to see the gems in one another, gems in the people out there that may in the natural not seem like gems, but they're God's beautiful creation. And don't be surprised when sin is sin. I mean, we've all been there, right? So don't be surprised when terrible things are done by people. But there are gems, they're God's creation. And we need to ask God for love for every person out there. He will give that to us. He will give it to us. We have to have that desire. So what does God say about you? I'm just going to go through a few scriptures which will be familiar, but it's good to be reminded. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are God's chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Now you must tell all the wonderful things he has done. I remember having a couple of prophetic words over a couple of years, and the word royalty, you are royalty. And guess what happened to me? I went round walking like this. I just thought, I'm royalty, you know, and somehow it just touched my spirit. And I thought, I'm royalty, and we are all royalty. You're God's holy priests. You are royalty. And I just had that revelation, and I can forget about that from time to time, but I need to remind myself I am royalty in the kingdom of God. And what does royalty have? Everything. You know, full inheritance. We have full inheritance. Nothing is too hard for God through you. So do we believe God's word? Or do we allow those doubts and fears to come in and squash it? Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Some people don't realise that's in the Word. They think, oh, Jesus is the light of the world. No, the Bible actually says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, because Jesus is in you, right? So you are the light of the world. I love the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God said, let there be light and darkness. He who said that has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This treasure is from God, not from ourselves. And I shared this story last night, but I'll just bear with me those who heard it. But when in my single years, we used to go out sharing our faith as a small group, and we'd go into bars and places like that. And this particular day, we prayed before we went out, and we felt God say we were going to be like literal lights. And I thought, oh, that's a bit wild. We went to this bar, and this person from the other side saw us, said he saw literal lights over us, and knew he had to come and see us. And he ended up getting saved. Yes. Amazing. Literal lights. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature, complete expression, and you are in him made full and have come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled full with the Godhead. Wow. Filled full with the Godhead. Oh, that is amazing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is, you are perfect in him. Didn't I say you are filled with God and you are perfect in him? Yes. That's what the word says. And the Amplified of Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall any way harm you. Amen. And behold means to see or observe something that is remarkable or impressive.
Yes.
Behold, I have given you authority and power. Okay? God is speaking. Jesus is speaking. And nothing will harm us. This was written before the Holy Spirit was given. So how much more now? We have the resurrection power. Wow. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. So imagine you're having a quiet time and Jesus actually appears in the flesh and he says, okay, come with me for the day. Okay, and we're just going to go for a walk and we're going to do what the Father says. And off we go with Jesus and we just see all these things he's doing. But we are Jesus now. We are Jesus. We can just go out with that authority, with his thoughts. Now, we've got to wait on God to get his thoughts. We can't just rush around with our life. We need that time with God. We absolutely have to have our time with God. We can't do it in our own strength. We absolutely can't. Jesus was always ducking away to spend time with the Father. And we've got to hear his voice. So the quiet place, that secret place, is absolutely essential. You can't shortcut it. God has so much he wants to share with us. And, you know, I just hope one day when I get to heaven, I say, oh, God says, oh, I wish you'd spent more time with me, you know. I'm sure we could all feel, I don't think he's going to condemn us at all. But there's always more time to be spent because he's got so much to share with us. And we rush things. Well, I do. That's sort of, I like to get on with things and get on with my day. And I've got to say, Lynn, stop. And I've got to rebuke myself. And sometimes even during the day, I've got to sit down and say, okay, Lord, now what? What do you want me to do now? You know, because I'm not sure. Okay, short accounts with the Lord. Acts 1:8, we're very familiar with that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's your inheritance, the power of God. Why? So you shall be my witnesses. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower us for witness. You mean I've got to go and share my faith? Yes, everybody, not just the evangelist. The more we make room for the Holy Spirit in our life, the more we spend time with God and listen to his voice, the more power we're going to have. There's no shortcuts to his power. If we have a deep relationship with God and we continue to spend more time with God, we are going to be more powerful. And obviously with the knocks of life, there are things in our soul realm that hold us back. Deal with it. Go to someone. If you need counsel, don't delay. Spend time with someone you respect who can help you through those soul issues. Because obviously if I'm whole in my soul, and God says he will restore our soul, if I want my soul restored, there's no blockages for the Holy Spirit to come out. So the more you deal with your soul realm, the more power is able to come out. Okay, so even last week, I was thinking, okay, I read something that said, if you've gone through trauma in your younger years, particularly your younger years, not just younger years, but particularly your younger years, that will have an effect on you as an adult if you haven't dealt with it. And I lived in a very small town when I was about 6, and I had a best friend, and we were inseparable. And then her family moved. And I'd never even thought about the fact I needed healing from that. And I was telling Alan about it, because God revealed it to me, so what God reveals, he heals. And I was telling Alan about it, and the tears started to come. This is when I was six, you know? So I that sense of abandonment and heartbreak because my best friend had left town. So that would have an effect on me even as an adult now. So at different times, God will reveal parts of my childhood or something that happened in my past. And I'll share it with Alan, and the tears start to come because God has revealed it and he's starting to heal the memory of that and the way it's affected my life. We're very complex people, aren't we? We're very complex. So, you know, it's a good exercise to actually say, Lord, is there anything in my past that still needs healing? And get it dealt with. If you don't know how to do that, go to someone you respect and ask them to pray with you and pray through it. Do you have healing rooms and things like that here? Do you have Sozo? Yeah, make the most of those sort of people who are experienced and trained. Because we're so complex. We have so many knocks in life. And some are very severe. Just the Holy Spirit wants to heal. What he reveals, he'll heal. And the more you're healed in your soul, the freer you're going to be for the Holy Spirit to come out and you to be more like Jesus. You know, there's no shortcuts, but God will reveal and heal if you're only willing. He just wants you to be vulnerable before him. But we need to spend time in his presence for him to reveal that, don't we? We need to spend time with him. I'm amazed just how many little things from my childhood that hurt me he has brought to my remembrance and I've needed healing. So we're all in the same situation there. So our faith gives us access to all the resources of heaven. Never let lack of money stop you from doing anything. If God has laid a vision on your heart, don't let lack of finances stop you. If God's laid it on your heart, he's saying, step out, take one step at a time, and watch what I will do. All the resources of heaven are ours for whatever God lays on your heart to do. That is pretty powerful. So the good news is we're all handpicked by God to be on planet Earth at this time. And if you're like a lot of people that just read the bad news, you're going to think, oh, what a terrible time to be on Earth and there's so many bad things happening. Most of the world don't know all the good things that are happening. And I love talking about all the good things that are happening. I love saying, do you realise, I share this with people when I'm sharing my faith sometimes, do you realise that in Africa there could be 2 million people at a meeting and at the end of the meeting there's all these empty wheelchairs and people are receiving sight and receiving healing? They have no idea that's going on in the world. And then you can share something more close to home about how you've prayed for someone and they've been healed. Most people don't know that. The power of the testimony isn't just your story to share with the lost, but it's also give a testimony of what God is doing in the world today, because the news is all bad news. And we need to tell people the good news, not just the literal gospel story, but what God is doing in the world, that he is alive and well on planet Earth, and there is going to be a revival, and he's going to move in mighty ways, and he is moving in mighty ways. I mean, I was healed in a car accident in my single years. My whole arm was pinned under a vehicle when it rolled, and multiple fractures probably, and I was with Youth with a Mission and my friends prayed for me and laid hands on me, and I just felt a lightning bolt go through my arm and I was instantly healed. So even though they happened a long time, it's a testimony of healing, and no one can say I'm lying because they happened to me. You know, I'm not making it up. So our God is alive, and people out there don't know that. They don't know that God is alive and well and he loves them, and if they knew what he was like, they would run into his arms. And so you're God's representative, and so you act as Jesus, you're flowing in the Holy Spirit. People are going to rush to Jesus. People do want to hear the gospel. They'd love to have good news. There's people out there in despair. And so a good exercise for you is, Lord, is there anyone in my sphere of influence that is suicidal or in despair? Who are they, God? Ask him. He's wanting to tell you who those people are that you know. There are people out there that are ripe and ready to be harvested that you know. But you've got to ask, Lord, who are they? And then start praying. And a few months ago, I looked online for how to pray for a non-Christian, just out of curiosity what would be on Google. There's some amazing prayers, specific prayers, about how to pray for non-believers, about breaking down their strongholds and bringing Christians into their life. Just a whole myriad of ideas. So go on Google if you need some ideas of more specific prayers that you can pray to see people saved. It's all there at our disposal, isn't it, with good old Google, you know, these days. And God believes in you. We're all he's got. He's got to believe in us. You know, that I think of the disciples, they sure blew it a few times, didn't they? But he believed in them. He spoke into their lives, and they blew it, and he didn't condemn them. He just picked them up again and, you know, go for it. So I would like you to say, I am possessed by God.
I am possessed by God.
Ah, come on, I want a bit more gusto than that. Come on, stand up.
Okay.
And put your hands up. I am possessed by God. Okay. I am a world changer.
I am a world changer.
Okay, you can sit down for a second. John 20, 21, as the Father sent me, Jesus, I also send you. We live in crucial times. We've got to shake off the apathy, the disappointment, the things of the past, and move on. Get healed in our soul and say, Lord, here I am, send me. So, I want you to say, I am Jesus in Crestline.
I am Jesus in Crestline.
I have a treasure within.
I have a treasure within.
The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me.
The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me.
I am his hands, his feet,
his mouthpiece.
And I ask you, God, for a heart for the lost. I'm just going to read something that really inspires me. It's called Make Me Burn. I was not created to be one of those timid souls that sits on the sidelines of life and watches the world go by. I was made for greatness. The DNA of my Father screams from my heart, give me adventure, give me souls. I must see heaven invade the earth. I must be in the centre of what he is doing. I will not sit by and let others tell the story of their deeds. I will have my own stories of my love, changing lives, healing bodies, transforming cities and discipling nations. Don't let me settle, God. You have bought me with a price and I surrender. Use me, God. Don't let me hold on to my life when I can live yours. I let go of my hopes and dreams and I choose to live for your dream. Set a fire in my soul. Make my life burn and send me out until the fire spreads. I am yours, God, and you are mine. I must have more. Let me be the revival I want to see. Let me be the answer to the dream of your heart. Give me your power, God. I will do your will. I'm after your heart, God, and I will not back down. Break rebellion. Send revival. Let this not be just my cry, Lord. Make it the cry of a generation. Burn in me with an everlasting flame. Isn't that awesome? We've got to stir ourselves up, don't we? So that's it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get, because you all know now, if you had any doubts when you came in that you have the power of God living within you, you all know now you have. Okay, so I just want to know if there's any needs here. Does anyone have any need of healing? Of anything at all?
Yeah, I've got a need.
Okay, so if you have a need of healing, just stand up. Okay, you know who's going to pray for you, don't you? All these other God people in the room. So just gather around those that are standing and just say, you know, is there anything specific you want healing for? And just lay hands on. The Bible doesn't say pray a long prayer. It just says lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so if there's any pain, just say, what is your pain level? 1 to 10. And then pray. And then after prayer, say, what is it now? And keep praying till the pain's gone, right? Okay, so just gather around the ones that are standing. And we want to see God do wonders today.
Yes.
You know, he's a miracle-working God. So you're all Jesus in this room, and if Jesus was walking in here, he'd be healing everybody. Everyone that came to Jesus got healed. So just gather around those that need prayer and start praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.